Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here, and as always, we'd like to welcome everyone to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Monday, February the 21st, 2022. And wish I could say I was 22 again, but today I'm 67 years of age. About midnight, I was born, my mother says, and had a second cousin. She was born 4 hours before I was, and that was an amazing stunt that her and her mother and my mother, which were first cousins, planned that. And we were born just 4 hours apart. Absolutely amazing. Sometimes you have to believe God is truly sovereign, even in things that we would never even remotely consider. The older I get, the more I understand and appreciate the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign and everything. And it's been said, people are worried about what's going on in the earth. And somebody said, everything's falling apart. But somebody said, no, everything's falling into place according to God's plan and God's purpose. Needless to say, America is in grave trouble. The world is spiraling more and more out of control. I will not be surprised if we see $100 oil, Brent, and the New York NYMEX. I believe we're going to see at least $100 oil, and America this year will borderline hyperinflation. Let me say that again. I believe America this year will encroach borderline hyperinflation. Once fuel gets to $4 to $5 a gallon, which will be around $100 a barrel, the last reading I got was right at 90, just a few cents, maybe $1.20 short of being $90 a barrel. Once it reaches 100, and believe it or not, that's where Saudi Arabia wants it, OPEC wants it, 75 plus. That's how they want to base their economy, their national economy, on $75 to $100 barrel oil, taking it from everyone from around the world and building such opulence there in the Middle East. But once it gets into the fuel, everything, clothing, deodorant, toothpaste, food, groceries, fertilizer, everything will explode exponentially. And then, of course, that cost will be put on the backs of you and I. We'll be burdened with this excess cost. And sadly, it'll affect everything. It'll affect this ministry. That's right. It will affect this ministry because it'll create hardship on people. But I trust God. I don't ask for money. We don't beg for money. We don't hardly ever even ask God in our prayers. God knows the needs, and I leave it there. I trust God for that. My business is to preach the Word of God. God's business is to supply the need according to His riches and glory. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. Through who? Through Christ Jesus. Everything, every blessing comes through Christ Jesus. You need to remember that. According to His riches and glory, by, through Christ Jesus, period. Every blessing. I was praying the other morning, and you know, you can understand sometimes when you pray, and you pray a prophetic type prayer, a prophetic type word. And it just came out of me, and I said, Lord, every measure of success and victory I've had in my life has been because of your faithfulness. Every failure in my personal life has been because of my unfaithfulness. Now, that is simplistic, but it is profound when you think about it. Every success, every victory has been in my life based on God's faithfulness. Every failure, every unsuccessful part in my life has been due to my unfaithfulness. You know, I'm in the book of 2 Samuel right now reading. And if you don't think sin will ravage and destroy your life, go back to 2 Samuel, pick up in chapter 13, and read from chapter 13 all the way to chapter 22. You talk about a man's life that is filled with nothing but utter heartache, pain, sorrow, suffering. The psalmist David, his life after he committed the sin with Bathsheba, I think I said all the way through 23, all the way through 24. Start in 2 Samuel chapter 13, read all the way to chapter 24. It is amazing the devastation, the wreckage, the carnage, the pain, the suffering, the loss, and all because David's one act of sin. Looked across the balcony on top of the roof, and he saw Bathsheba. And then, not too long from then, Ahithophel would give David heinous advice and put a tent on top of the same roof, where the thought, the act of adultery was conceived in David's heart. Ahithophel told Absalom, put a tent up there and go into all of those 10 concubines of David's who kept the palace. Go into them. And why did Ahithophel give him that bad advice? To cause rage between Absalom and David. But I thought it was ironic. On the same roof where the first act of adultery was conceived, it then was multiplied times 10 with the 10 concubines. Months and months ago, you remember I elaborated profusely on James 1, 12, and 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Something was conceived on that balcony when David went and said, bring Bathsheba back to me. Again, Ahithophel was her granddad. That's why he gave David such heinous advice. The wreckage, the carnage, the destruction, the chaos, the evil was just so bad. And people wonder, why is America in such a profuse decline? It's because of sin. You can't blame it on anything else. You can't blame it on Joe Biden. Sure, he's part of the problem. All politicians are part of the problem. And let me say this, and I'm gonna move on. I told you a year ago this past November, I learned something about myself in the presidential election relative to Donald Trump. You may get mad at what I'm about to say, but that's all right. What I'm saying is the truth. This is not a political problem. This is a spiritual problem. God wants to deal with individual men and women. Righteousness must pervade the land. And with all respect, Donald Trump would not be deemed a righteous man with his vulgarity and cursing and things of that nature. Get your eyes off of the man. Get your eyes on Jesus. I heard a man who had prophesied that Donald Trump would get 2 terms. I heard the same man a few weeks ago on television said, y'all get out of the book of Revelation, quit worrying about the mark of the beast. There's something wrong when men tell you, stay away from prophecy, stay away from the end times. You see, his allegiance is to politics, and he's more of a patriot than a Christian. Now, I know I'll get flack for that, but that's all right. I'm a Christian before I'm anything. I'm a Christian before I'm a preacher. I said I'm a Christian before I'm even a preacher. Our focus should be on Elohim, the Lord God of Abraham. God can take care of everything. Men cannot take care of this, but we can pursue God. And as I was praying again the other day, I was reminded of Revelation 5 and 8. The prayers is the incense for the altar of incense in the throne of, around the throne of God. Are you providing Holy Ghost incense for the Lord? I said, are you providing Holy Ghost incense for the Lord? Because the incense, the Bible said, is the prayers. And we're going to mess around, and there's going to be a shortage of incense. It says in Revelation 5 and 8, odors, but the word odors there is incense. And it's the prayers of the saints. As I was reading that again the other day, my heart was stricken. Are we making enough incense through prayer for God to have to burn on the altar of incense? They would pour that incense on that altar of incense, and that altar of incense was right before you went into the Holy of Holies. And that aroma would fill the temple. America's survival, America's existence today is based on our prayer lives. Don't be surprised if war breaks out in the earth this year. I told you 2022, the number 6, the number of man. Man will do more harm and damage because Satan will provoke him to do things he should not do. Thus, we need to be praying as never before. I want to play a song today by Walt Mills. Holy Spirit, flow through me. That is exactly what the church needs today, for the Holy Ghost of God to flow through every one of us.
Flow through me. and make my life what it ought to be. Holy Spirit,
that is the need today for the Holy Spirit of God to flow through men. We want to go today to Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 25, getting now into the meat of the wheat and the tares. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Here in verse 25, we witness Satan, which represents the enemy. The enemy came, and the enemy sowed tares among the wheat. The truth is, Christ owns the field. The field, the Bible said, Jesus said, is the world. It is his by divine right, because he created it. The psalmist tells us in Psalms 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof the world, and they that dwell therein. God created everything. Everything exists and consists because of him. Everything is literally, physically held together because of God's omnipotence, his all power. Satan is the evil one. Satan is a shrewd and cunning and crafty creature. Some theologians debate between Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer who is the greatest among them. Some believe Lucifer was actually the greatest of them all. His wisdom, Satan's wisdom was utterly profound. I said his wisdom was utterly profound. God gave Lucifer wisdom that exceeded anything. And we know that because of the scriptures. Ezekiel 28:17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28 are chapters that give us a great insight concerning Lucifer, the fallen one. And after the fall, he became Diablos, the devil, Satan, the dragon, the thief, etc., etc., etc. Prior to his fall, there was nothing like him. Ezekiel 28:15 says, that was perfect. And thy ways from the day that thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. Meaning the first sin was not in the Garden of Eden. The first sin was in God's heaven, where God dwells, where God lives, where God resides. Satan possessed an anointing. Ezekiel 28:14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. That was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Again, some theologians believe Satan ruled parts of the universe such as the earth. And so when Satan led this great rebellion against God, there was an eruption, there was a rent, there was a tear in the entirety of the cosmos, the universe. When that happened, and I'm not here to tell you I know how, I just can share what I understand. The canopy was rent, and thus it flooded the earth. There was a deluge, a flood of water on the earth that was prior to Adam. That was prior to Adam being created and placed into the garden. Lucifer led this rebellion. When we go to Revelation chapter 12, it says his tail drew one-third of the stars, meaning angels, cast their lot with him. And then we see, as I said, the earth was flooded. This is where all the fossils of the dinosaurs, fossils of so many things, seashells on top of mountains. Regrettably, few ministers, preachers, have ever even sought to understand the pre-Adamite. When I say pre-Adamite, meaning before Adam, they never sought to understand what transpired back then. I'm telling you, the church is stuck in neutral. They don't know about the past, and they don't know about the future, because they're all going to be raptured out of here. So they believe. So when we go to Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Whatever God created, my friend, was not dark and without form and void. That's not what God creates. In him is light and life. John 1:4-5. In him was life. The light was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So if you get into God's presence, you're getting into the personification of light, because there is no darkness in him. So God created the earth, pre-Adamite. Satan's rebellion deluged the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is, some call it the gap theory. It's not a theory. If you go back and read 2 Peter chapter 3, you can put this stuff together. It's there. Men don't seek it. I could direct men to this passage, and they would look at me and have no clue what I'm talking about. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. They're ignorant. that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water. So when God created the heavens and the earth, it was out of the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now, let me say this. I have a lot of this, 90% of this, in my teaching series, my DVD, The Great White Throne Judgment and the Lake of Fire. I tried to explain what happens, and I believe the earth, as we know it now, is animated. It is in some type of suspension. I don't know where we are. I don't know what's going on, but there's got to be a time frame in there, because we have the Great White Throne Judgment in Revelation 20, beginning at verse 10. Then in Revelation 21:1, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Getting back to 2 Peter 3, verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That is right before the Great White Throne Judgment and following it. Of course, these poor souls that don't know their Bible think this is talking about the coming of the Lord. No. The Lord, at this point that Peter's talking of, the Lord Jesus has already come. He's sitting over there in Jerusalem. He's there. He exists. I believe this is why Peter says in verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as one day. So the 1,000-year millennial reign will come to fruition then, the Great White Throne Judgment, the Lake of Fire. There will be a fiery holocaust, a fiery cremation of everything. Then we go into eternity. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So this was prior to the rebellion of Lucifer and the angels and the deluge in the earth as God had first created it. Then it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. What you read in Genesis 1 is really a recreation. We've been taught it's creation. But we see it was already created. Verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. He didn't create it without form and void and darkness. That was the fall of Lucifer, the rebellion. And it's so beautiful. The first thing that God did, the Spirit of God moved upon what? The face of the waters. That authenticates that the earth was deluged. So God moved upon the face of the waters, and he began to separate, divide. He then took the earth out of the water, and we see it as it is right now. The earth is not in the water. But then he created the firmament. I'm not going to get into all of this, but just trying to give you a real quick synopsis of what transpired. And so I believe personally, after God did that and recreated the earth, Satan wanted to come back in now and destroy everything that God had recreated, and then, of course, man. Because now Satan possesses a absolute, utter, complete, total fallen nature. So he steals, he kills, he destroys. That's all he knows to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Sadly, ministers, they don't talk about any of this stuff. They want you to have your best life now. And so the church sets in darkness. The church sets in ignorance. The church don't know what's going on. A new listener, a brother, sent me a scripture, said you can use John 17:15, which says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And I thanked him. But that's one of the first verses I used 25 years ago to say, hey, wait a minute. Jesus has prayed we're kept from the evil. He's not going to take us out. There's not going to be a pre-tribulation rapture. There is going to be a second advent of Christ. The redeemed will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. There are no scriptures in the Bible that ever show the church in heaven. Now, I know there are those who will say the 24 elders represent the church. No, they don't. They represent the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. Well, how do we know that? Read your Bible. Those 24 elders represent the 12 tribes of Israel, and they represent the 12 apostles. Well, how do you come to that conclusion, preacher? You think you know everything? No, I don't know everything, but I do study. Revelation 21:12, and had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. The walls. Now look at the foundations. Verse 14, Revelation 21:14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Let's see, 12 and 12 is what? 24. Were not the 12 tribes of Israel the elders of Israel? Yes. Were not the 12 apostles the beginning of the elders in the New Testament church? Yes. By the way, they were all Jews. No Gentiles. You know, people have tried to come against me and say, well, Luke was a Gentile. He was a physician. Can you prove that? No, you can't. But I can prove to you he was a Jew. Well, how can you do that? Romans 3, 1 and 2. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there in circumcision? Much every way, because chiefly that unto them were given or were committed the oracles of God. God gave his word through Jewish men. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles or the word of God. That's the advantage of the Jew. Even the book of Esther, the book of Ruth. If I remember my history, Samuel penned those books. There's no contradiction in the word of God. The reason men think there is contradiction is because they don't know the word of God. They've not studied it thoroughly enough to connect the dots. I used the analogy some weeks ago. When we were little, we would get a coloring book, and it would have a dot from 1 to 100. And you zigzag, and then what it does, it draws a picture, but it's empty. Then you color it in. Now you have a beautiful picture. This is what's happened to the church. I remember 27 years ago, and most of you have heard my testimony, the great revelations that God gave me after a 40-day fast. And God showed me something. He said, the reason men cannot correctly and thoroughly understand revelation, the end times, is because they get to a point and they say, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be gone. None of this is applicable to me. So God gives us a book called the Book of Revelation. It has 22 chapters in it, but when you get to chapter 4 and verse 1, poof, we're gone. So none of that is applicable to us, but that's not right. That's not true. It's all applicable to us. You know, I remember when I was a young preacher, and I would hear prophecy teachers, Revelation 4, 1, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And they would all say, hereafter what? Hereafter the rapture. Well, does it say that? No, we just make that up. I'm not being ugly. I'm trying to be transparent. I'm trying to be honest. And I know, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said there are those that handle the word of God deceitfully, and they handle the word of God dishonestly. Now, I'm not sitting here accusing all pre-tribulation preachers are dishonest and deceitful, but I will say this. They think they are so vastly qualified to teach pre-trib rapture, then they say mid-trib. There's no such thing as a mid-trib if you understand the scriptures, and thirdly, post-trib. I've watched them. I could call their names, but I won't do it. But they eviscerate, they desecrate 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And they tell you the falling away is the rapture of the church. That is asinine. That is dishonest. That is deceitful. Why? We're not falling away. We are gathering together unto him. Look it up. The falling away. Paul said it was a bill of divorcement. We're not supposed to be divorcing Christ. We're supposed to be gathering together unto Christ. And I hear all of this clamor, all of this chatter. You know, I thank God for the truth. And I thank God he's allowed this podunk country preacher to be a steward and a custodian of his word. You know, I try my best. God knows my heart. I try my best to be as honest with the Word of God as I possibly can be. You know, I told you some weeks ago, I quoted Luke 9:62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And I said, I should look up the word fit to see what it actually means. And it means to be acceptable, usable by God. So if you look back, you put your hand to the plow, look back means you're not meet for the master's use. You're not usable for the master's use. I didn't say that. God said that. And when he's talking about looking back, he's talking about backsliding, walking away from God. This is where we are, folks. And you know who fathers all of this? The devil. The devil is subtle. And as God, Elohim, says, thine heart was lifted up, because he looked around, no doubt, and he said, look at me, and compared himself to all the other angelic hosts. He said, look at me. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. He had unfathomable wisdom, but that wisdom became corrupted. You know, as a Christian, I sit and I listen to men. I listen to their words. I listen to their verbiage. I listen to their diction. I listen, and I've learned their eloquence is satanic. It is satanic eloquence. Man, it is smooth, it is syrupy, honey and butter, but it's a lie, it is a sham, it is a subterfuge. The Bible tells us, talking about Christianity, 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether it be of God. For many false prophets are going out into what? They're going out into the world. We have people, their purpose is to trick you, to deceive you. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. There are certain people, there are certain doctrines we should avoid. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Here's the key phrase. And by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. I consider myself a very, very simple man. I mean, an extremely simple man. The acronym KISS, keep it simple, stupid. That's me. Keep it simple. Don't convolute it. Don't twist it. Don't twist it. Don't pollute it. Don't add to it. Don't do any of that stuff. Leave it alone. You put your hands on it, it becomes sullied and soiled. Lady emailed me the other day, and I think it was relative to the Hebraic movement. And, you know, they tell people like me and you, we're not saved. We don't keep the Sabbath. We don't do this and we don't do that. They're the ones that are not saved. These people are hateful. They'll lambast you. They'll eviscerate you. They will castigate you. They will impinge you. They will encroach you. They will utterly destroy you. And that was the problem with the church at Galatia. Galatians 4:9. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, where you desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe months and days and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Paul said, I'm afraid of you Galatians. Why? Because you started out in the spirit and somehow you've ended up in the flesh and you think you're really redeemed. When he said at the end of the day, you're not redeemed. You're not even saved. Galatians 3:2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, we all know you're redeemed by grace, and that not of works, lest any man should boast. That's why Paul said to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. This has always been a problem, and it will be a problem till Jesus comes. Where does all this come from? Satan, all the division, all the strife. Then God comes along and he gives us his word to correct the erroneous error that's trying to pervade and permeate the church. God's trying to correct that. It's, don't hold me to this, one phrase, I believe it's Jeremiah 27:8, they refuse to receive correction. You just can't correct them. But they're all out to correct you. But you see, in their correction, they're trying to correct you in the spirit of error, twisting the scriptures, twisting the truth. When we have the truth, we have the word of God. I was writing working on a newsletter last week, and I said, don't allow anyone to misinterpret the scriptures to you. Don't allow anyone to misinterpret the scriptures to you. You have the Bible. God gave you his word. Every one of us has access to the Bible. Embrace it. Bathe your mind. Bathe your spirit. Immerse yourself. Baptize yourself in the word of Almighty God. I shared this prophecy. Stanley Frodsham, F-R-O-D-S-H-A-M. Stanley Frodsham, F-R-O-D-S-H-A-M. I shared this nearly a year ago. It was a prophecy given in 1965. He was a personal friend to Smith Wigglesworth. Why do I bring him up? Because he said, here in the last days, he said, you're going to hear a preacher make a statement. It's biblically accurate. You get a witness from it. It is true. But then somewhere down the road, the same preacher will say something that you know is not right. It is not correct. It is not biblical. It is not scriptural. You know it. But then you have this thought in your mind, but wait a minute. He said last week, thus and thus and thus, and that's right. He's saying this week, thus and thus, but I know that's not right. What's happened? He, too, is becoming deceived. He's trying to manipulate you. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and becoming deceived. Men are not only deceiving people, but these people are becoming more deceived themselves. I was thinking about the ministry the other day. Actually, I was praying. I was thanking God for the way he has allowed the integrity of the ministry to stay intact. I don't take any credit for anything. not to bring shame, dishonor, disgrace, and reproach against my Lord. Every week now, you're hearing about some jackleg being investigated by the IRS, being investigated by the FBI, immoral conduct, immoral circumstance, immoral situations, and the other group is about money. You know, read about someone the other day who got PPP money, large ministry, over $3 million. Then they found out it wasn't used for what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be to make payroll for their employees during the COVID scenario. And so supposedly the man gave it back. Somebody told me, said, you could get $500,000 for your ministry under this program. I said, I'm not going to get no money from the government. Oh, no. No, sir. No, sir. I'm not getting in bed with the government. Why? I learned something. I read it, but I've come to understand it. If the government gives you anything, they can certainly take it away from you. I had a friend who had Obamacare. He's an astute businessman. They're my age. They're retirement age. So they got the Obama health care and loved it. Great. But then he sold a rental house, $60,000, $65,000. This has been about 3 or 4 years ago before all this inflation and real estate's gone absolutely off the charts. It's really asinine. But he sold the rental house and went and done his taxes. And the lady says, you owe the IRS $18,000. You owe all the Obama money in insurance back. He said, what? His name is David. I said, David, I told you, do not get in the bed with the government. You are a small businessman, and you wanted to deny insurance, and you wanted it basically for nothing. But, hey, see what it cost you? You cannot afford to get into the bed with the devil. Why? He steals, he kills, he destroys. That's his modus operandi. Ronda, however you want to pronounce it. He is the one that at the end of the day corrupts everything. Corrupts it. It's like a chemist. You sit down, a glass of water. He analyzes it. He says, that's water. He turns his head. You drop one cube of salt. In high school, we used to go to the cafeteria, pour salt on the table, set the salt shaker on the salt, and blow away all the little cubes of salt. And let that thing, you know, I'd have it setting 90 degrees. Yeah, I did a lot of crazy stuff in high school like the rest of you. But if you take that one little cube of salt, put it in the water, and say now to the chemist, research this water, tell me what it is. He'll come back and say, and that, it's salt water now. You can't taste it. But the analyst, the analysis says, wait a minute, it's salt. Something has gotten in here that's salt. It's contaminated it. Listen, that's all the devil wants to do is contaminate the truth. Just barely contaminate it. And I read someone years ago who said, the devil will give you 9 parts truth and 1 part lie to reel you in, to deceive you, to manipulate you. And how true is that? You see, it's pure, it's holy, it is unsullied and unsoiled. But the devil comes in and sows one little lie into it, just like he did Eve. And there you go. Now it's corrupt. Now it's no longer what it truly was. Now it's no longer truly what it was. This is why it is so important to be studious and ingest a balanced dietary program of God's Word in your life. As I said, one of the prophets going around America prophesying all the time, I heard him say it. I watched his face. I watched his lips. I heard his words. Leave the book of Revelation alone. Leave the mark of the beast alone. Get away from that stuff. Are you kidding me? This is why people are dumb and ignorant today when it comes to the Bible, the Word of God. But see, what I've come to understand, that man is more of a patriot. He didn't learn anything from Trump not getting reelected. I learned something. I learned something about that. I learned something about me, old David, because that's what I wanted. And I won't fall into that snare 2024. You say, will we be here 2024? Yeah, we're going to be here, okay? All these fear mongers. And let me say, we'll be here, but it'll be worse than what it is now. Why? Because America won't repent. If America repents, God could do a great work. Don't get me wrong. But if we don't get back to repentance, if we don't give back to righteous, godly living, if we don't quit lying and cheating and stealing and embezzling and aborting babies and doing all of these evils and letting drag queens come to the library and teach little 5, 6, 7-year-old children about sodomy, if we don't stop this, judgment is coming to America. I've said it for a quarter of a century. You're going to see a third world war. I've said this. I don't know if the Civil War will come first or the Civil War will follow the World War, but you're going to see civil unrest in America unless there's an old-fashioned move of God. You know, everything I'm basically teaching on television right now is from the book of Jeremiah. God wanted to save Israel from their heartache, their hardship. They didn't want to be saved from it. The false prophets arose, prophesied thus and thus and thus, and Jeremiah said, the people love to have it that what they're prophesying, that's what the people want. See, that's what I learned about myself. What they were prophesying was what I wanted. Guess what? What I wanted never came to pass. It fell through. See, the truth is, that's carnally minded, isn't it? Is that not carnally minded? They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Is that not what that is? I was carnally minded. I was minding, attending to the things of the flesh at that time. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not a charlatan. I'm not a pretender. I'm not a fake. You know, I'm not a sham. I'm not a subterfuge. I'm not a gimmick. I'm not a trick. I'm just trying to tell everyone the truth as best I can. And the more truth you have in you, the easier it is for the truth to come out of you. The more deception you have in you, the more deception will come out of you. It's not rocket science. This is why I've come to understand. We have so many videos and so many people that think they're this and that, and they claim to be Christians, and they get visions, they get revelations, they get this and that. I pray, I fast, I seek God. I can hardly get a word from God. They just hear it all the time. There's something wrong. It's one thing to talk it. It's another thing to walk it. Talk is so true. It's cheap. It's cheap. Biden says, I'm going to shut down COVID. Oh, you're doing a great job, Joy. You're doing a great job, Joy. You lie about this, you lie about that, you lie about everything. Pray for him. My God, the man needs help. Our leaders are mindless when it comes to God. Absolutely mindless when it comes to God. Sadly, that has crept into the church. That's why men say things like, leave the book of Revelation alone. Don't even worry about the mark of the beast. You better. You better know the truth, because when these events begin to transpire and take place, you're going to be here, you're going to see it, and you need to be prepared for it. Well, I'd listen to you more if you wouldn't talk about that and say we're going to be here and have to go through some of this stuff. Well, if you want to believe the other stuff, go ahead and believe it. I used to believe it. I preached it. But, you know, there came a point in my life I said, God, I want an encounter with you. I want to engage you as I never have engaged you before. Let me tell you, when you start talking and living and getting close to God, he will begin to conform you into his image and likeness, and your life will absolutely, absolutely change. Not for the worse, but for the better. You'll see things differently. You will discern things differently. You'll read the Bible, and it will become more alive in your life. But here's the devil and his crowd, just like Hymenaeus and Philetus, running around telling people the resurrection is past. You missed it. You got those who saying it was past in the New Testament. And you got people saying, it's going to happen any minute. I was lying in the bed last night, my wife and I, and I said, you know, looking back over my life, I built the first church in Charlotte when I was a pre-tribulationist. I believed in the pre-tribulation rapture. And I would make, now looking back, silly statements. Well, the Lord told me to build this church. Wonderful, great. But, on the other hand, he could come tomorrow. So why does he want me to build a church today when he might come tomorrow and my labor was in vain? The Bible said your work and labor of love is not in vain. See that little nuance right there, that little nugget right there? If you're told to build and you dig the footings and you pour the foundation, you get the walls going up, and the rapture took place, and you say God told you to build it, but then the rapture took place and you weren't able to finish it, I'd say that labor was in vain, wouldn't you? Yet we're told in Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name. God don't forget it. 1 Corinthians 15:57, 58, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. It's not worthless. I'm going to pick this back up tomorrow, verse 25. I hope you got a little education today about the earth that then was and out of the water and in the water. Hopefully there's been something said that will encourage, strengthen your heart, strengthen your life. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll pick this again back up here in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 25. God bless you. God keep his hand on you. And may he forever order your steps in his most holy word.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.